Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Your copy may say fried chair, Burns and Wood. Now, Burns chair, fry, and wood. So I apologize to those of you that were here yesterday anticipating a subcommittee on this. If you've seen any weather reports, we got hammered in northern Iowa yesterday, so it was a little bit longer trip down here than I initially anticipated. So apologize for that. So today we're having a subcommittee on what is called House Study Bill 196. It is known as an anti-bullying bill. This is coming as a result of the governor's anti-bullying summit from this summer. It goes through and you know, starts to lay the foundation for addressing the issue of bullying in the state of Iowa, which I think each and every one of us sitting here could probably tell a story of someone, something, you know, of a situation where we've had bullying in a school district. So I know I can think of three stories right off the top of my head that are within just my own family. So definitely an issue in the state of Iowa. It's an issue nationwide. So I'm glad that we've got a framework here to get started from, to start the discussion on what we can do to strengthen anti-bullying legislation in the state of Iowa. So really the purpose of a subcommittee is to hear from people, you know, hear concerns, hear things that people would like to see or express. So with that, I think we'll go ahead and just...
If I could start, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Tom Merrick, School Administrator of Iowa. Matt Carver is going to explain the development of the bill and talk about the various aspects of it, but we're very strong supporters of the current legislation. It's done some really good things. But one of the issues that principals are faced with is since the original bill was developed, technology has changed quite a bit, and there's electronic forms of bullying and harassment that aren't really covered under the original bill. And principals are kind of struggling with, is this school-related, is it not school-related? So Matt Carver, an attorney with the School Administrators of Iowa, for the last several months has been working on this bill, trying to, first of all, expand it into the technological aspects of bullying, but also looking at how we can make this bill better to make sure, because there are some issues of bullying that aren't covered in the original legislation, and so Matt's trying to do that with this bill. There is one part that Matt will explain where we're comfortable if you'd like to take out because it's covered under previous or other laws. So, Matt, I think I'll turn it over to you and you can explain what you're trying to accomplish with this bill and why it's important.
Yeah, sure. As Tom said, my name is Matt Carver. I'm the Legal Services Director for School Administrators of Iowa. And first off, I'd just like to thank everyone's here, the interest. Yeah, we've certainly seen interest from both parties in trying to strengthen our anti-bullying law here in Iowa. As I've gone around the state to do training, I've seen interest from students, faculty, parents, community members in strengthening Iowa's law. So I'm confident what we're doing here is really ensuring that all of Iowa's students are protected from bullying regardless of time or location. And over the years, as I've received calls or emails on this topic, what's developed is probably a majority, I would say, of the bullying has been occurring electronically. And often, as been shared already this morning, that's occurring on Twitter or on Facebook or other electronic means outside of school time. And so what this would do is it would really clarify that school administrators and other school officials would have some authority to step in and take some action to protect Iowa's children when one of the four conditions that's already in Iowa's anti-bullying law may have been violated. So that's really the significant part of this, is just ensuring that protection, because right now we have references to traits and characteristics in Iowa's law. One of the things that I've seen over the years, and I'm sure this will make a lot of sense to you, is that frequently you may have bullying that relates to a student's relationship. Perhaps a student is dating someone who is formerly dating someone else, or perhaps a student is the child of a teacher or a coach or an administrator in the district, and they're being bullied for those reasons as well. currently under Iowa law, it's not clear that that would be covered. Now, certainly we've encouraged for administrators to treat those as potential bullying violations, but this will really clarify that as well. So again, it expands the authority in being able to cover some of these electronic bullying outside of school and other bullying that would occur outside of school. But then in addition, it also clarifies that we want to ensure that students are not bullied for any reason. And that's really the bottom line here. Again, protecting all Iowa students from bullying at any time or location. That's what we're really after here. So we appreciate your attention to this and your support of this. As Tom had mentioned, there was one provision relating to free expression rights. There was 10A in House Bill 196. We're fine with removing that, and the reason for that is that we're confident students have that protection already under Iowa's Constitution and the United States Constitution. So they have those free speech protections currently. So if that caused, I guess that caused some concerns with some organizations, and I believe by removing that, that addressed those concerns while at the same time ensuring that we're recognizing that Iowa students do have free speech rights. So that's just really an overview of, I guess, from my perspective, of why we're hoping that this bill will go through.
And some comments back here.
Emily Piper with the Iowa Association of School Boards. We're currently registered undecided on the bill, and I think we have some questions. I appreciate what SAI has said about removing that provision at 10A. That did cause us a significant amount of concern. The one question that I have that I would hope someone could answer is the logic behind the separation of the definition of bullying and harassment. And that's something that I don't know that we've gotten a clear explanation as to why that's done and what the intent of that is and what the practical effect of that will be in terms of how we deal with bullying or harassment situations. The second concern that we have, really, and it gets to kind of the heart of what Matt was talking about, is the changing in the law that really allows us to start policing what happens at home and have some real concerns about putting boards in that position. Obviously, they're not the ones that will be required to go in and do that, but they are the ones that will be required to deal with whatever the aftermath might be, litigation, dealing with suspension, expulsion, and such. And so we have just a bit of uncomfortableness with the expansion of what the school district and the school board is responsible for. Very comfortable with the other language that clarifies the changes in technology, particularly with laptops and such now going and iPads going home with students, that is certainly within the realm of what we believe the school district and the school board is responsible for. So if there is someone here who could answer the question as to why we've separated the definition of the two, I'd certainly like to better understand that, and then just continue to say we're a little nervous about the provision that expands our control.
And we got Adam Gregg here from the governor's office. Just to address the issue, though, a little bit of outside of the district behavior that you kind of alluded to. Currently, especially at our high school level, you know, being a former high school teacher and coach, students, there's a good conduct policy that goes outside of the school district. And, you know, if they were drinking, using tobacco, doing things like that, the school districts do have that authority, or they do have the good conduct policy that they have to deal with when they come back into the school system, which maybe there's some similarities here between what they're doing outside the school system on the electronic side that we can maybe incorporate that into something to do even with a good conduct policy. So I think we already kind of have gone down that road a little bit, but we can explore that further. Adam, if you'd like to address the separation of bullying versus harassment.
Actually, I'll let the Department of Education and maybe school administrators of Iowa address that question. I'm sorry, my name's Adam Gregg. I'm the governor's legislative liaison. I'm about triple booked, and so I just wanted to stop up here and express the governor's support for this legislation. The governor's taken a lead role in addressing bullying, hosting the Bullying Prevention Summit last fall. We appreciate the work of school administrators of Iowa on this legislation. We think this bill modernizes the bullying statute to reflect the current realities out there. So in terms of specific questions, though, I'll turn it over to the Department of Education or school administrators of Iowa to address that question. and I'm sorry I've got a jet, but just wanted to make sure this is important enough to the governor that I wanted to make sure I was up here and express that support to you guys.
Welcome to your first call week.
Yeah.
Who would like to take on the separation of the two definitions?
I'm Phil Wise with the Department of Education, and I don't think I'll take it on directly because I did bring legal counsel with me yesterday, but she was unable to come this morning. But I'll be happy to communicate that to her and perhaps get something back to members of the subcommittee by email. I'm also sure that the school administrators can speak to that, because the school administrators council and the department's council worked collaboratively in developing this language, were highly supportive of it. In terms of the potential amendment that we've heard about, we too are fine with that, because we think, quite frankly, it doesn't change the policy one way or another, whether it's in or out, so the will of the body. As Adam said, the department is highly supportive of this and hopes this legislation moves forward quickly. And I will have legal counsel get back to members of the subcommittee to try to answer that specific legal question and any others that I may hear during the course of this subcommittee.
Okay, thank you. Matt, would you, have some?
Sure, I can do my best. And I certainly don't want to speak for the Department of Education, but I can share, at least as this developed, how the separation came about. Initially, as we're drafting this, I had just included all these additions as far as areas that were covered in the traits and characteristics section. Now, legal counsel with the Department of Education were concerned that by covering some things that may not be considered traits or characteristics, that may cause some confusion, such as the example I used earlier regarding relationships or the behavior of a student, that some of those things typically aren't considered traits or characteristics. And so that's why the council for the Department of Education recommended a separation, so that that was in a separate area that's covered by bullying. The traits and characteristics are covered as harassment, but really, to me, it's really a matter of semantics. It's bullying slash harassment. Each would be treated in the same manner. If a student were to file a complaint form, they would each be handled the same way. The standards that are used for each are the same. So there's really no difference. So if you wish to talk more or get some advice from the Department of Education's counsel on their recommendation, but that's at least how I saw that coming about. I would like to cover the other issue relating to things happening outside of school and us taking on those roles, because I do believe I have some perspective on that. Currently, families are already coming to school administrators with these issues. Ideally, we certainly would love for parents to be able to handle these situations, contact each other. We encourage our administrators to involve parents when they're facing these situations with bullying. But the reality is, they're coming to school administrators already. And when I receive the calls or the emails on this issue, they're really spending a lot of time trying to figure out whether they have the authority or not. And so this would take care of that problem. But as far as time that's being spent by school officials on the issue, they're already spending time because the students are coming to them, and at times their hands are tied as far as what they're able to do. So this will again give them more authority while also still allowing students to have their free speech rights, as we mentioned, already covered by our Constitution here in Iowa, the United States Constitution, to better protect Iowa students.
Great. Representative Burns, thank you. I would just like to add on to that, and I'm going to be looking at my legal counsel for SAI. And Emily, for the School Board Association, it's my understanding by school law that if we have a connection with anything that's outside and is brought into the school, or vice versa, the school actually has control or has, I don't want to say jurisdiction, but we have a right to deal with it. Give you an example, bus routes. When there's a bus stop that's outside the school district, but that bus stop is connected to the school, if something happens at that bus stop, school administrators and officials deal with that situation. If an incident happens in the school, goes outside, continues to blow up, comes back in, we deal with it. If it happens outside and it's brought into the school, we deal with it because now it's affecting the school system. So it's a fine line, but if it's brought in, I think it gives the school administrators really the authority to deal with this situation. You know, as far as the bullying and harassment, I agree with Matt on if I was dealing with one in the school system, it's going to be checked, bullying and harassment. Our school information system, and I believe probably, and I'm going to look at the DE, most school administrator or student information systems, when you're dealing with discipline, automatically, I mean, I know ours does, if we do bullying harassment, it says this has to be reported to the DE. So it's an automatic checkoff. It won't let us do anything else if we check bullying and harassment. So, I mean, that's already part of it. And I have to commend Matt Carver on this whole thing because it was a few years ago when we started getting into harassment and bullying, came out with a recommendation for the school boards and administrators to put in student handbooks. I even brought mine. I also brought my board policy, and basically it is pretty much word for word what Matt has written in here. So this is something that is increasing in our schools. I think we need to address it, and we try to do the best we can as far as bringing in, whether we have to bring parents in and help solve the issue, we try to do that, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But for the most part, we are seeing an increasing amount of social bullying going on or harassment going on with Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media. So this is a very much needed amendment or bill, and I fully support it.
Emily, I have a question on 10A. You indicated that you would like to see an amendment that did pull that out, that language out.
That is correct, and that was my understanding.
Can you help me understand the rationale for?
Based on the information that I received from our legal folks, this has been a provision that has been in other state laws, and it by some has been taken as a license to bully in terms of the standard that it creates. Our interest in protecting free speech, and as Matt mentioned, I think we believe is already covered in terms of the students' free speech. We were very concerned with the use of the term a reasonable person and what a reasonable person would find as not constituting harassment or bullying. And again, looking at the experience of some other states who have adopted similar things, there have been similar questions raised about how that would be defined in the courts. And so because the free speech protection is already inherent in law, we feel like this provision creates a high degree of uncertainty and puts boards in a very difficult position in trying to make that distinction.
I might add, we understand that. We talked to several groups yesterday, and we're not uncomfortable taking it out. Kids do have those protections, and so it was placed in there to make sure everybody understood that, and I think the conversation probably accomplished that, and the bill doesn't need it, and we're very comfortable in taking it out, because we understand it does create some issues of uncertainty. What does it mean? And that's not our intent.
If I can answer that. I'm Connie Ryan Heron with the Interfaith Alliance of Iowa and Action Fund. And we have long been part of the conversation on bullying. We're part of the coalition that worked on the bill in 2007, well, really before that. And I want to be clear that free speech and religious freedom have nothing to do with bullying. We need to separate out those conversations. If I'm a student and I bully someone and I use my religion as an excuse for that, that is not religious freedom and that is not free speech. Free speech and bullying have to do with conversation, have to do with my beliefs, but I can't attack someone because of that. I can't bully someone because of that. And so we were gravely concerned about the language that was in 10A. And how do you define a reasonable person? There is no legal definition of that, and so we're glad that section could potentially be taken out. And we obviously stand for religious freedom. That's a core piece of what our organization is about, but it can never be used as an excuse for bullying.
I also want to go back to the issue of the definition of bullying and harassment. And I am concerned about disconnecting the traits and characteristics from bullying, and the differentiating between bullying and harassment is not about, they should be connected, both should be connected. They're both motivating factors, but we also need to look at the difference between bullying and harassment in terms of the level of harm done, not from those motivating factors. So both should be connected, but the distinction is about the level of harm done to the student.
Margaret?
Yes, Margaret Buckton from the Urban Education Network, which is 18 of the largest districts in Iowa. And, we're currently registered as undecided, but we're on the supportive side of undecided, if there is such a thing. We support elimination of that 10A as well for the reasons that have been articulated. We have a question about rules for the DE and wonder what rules need to be further implemented at this point, because it's fairly defined legislation and clear, and don't know that that's necessary. And then I emailed to the three of you on the subcommittee this morning some language that would go into that discussion of place that we were talking about. And Representative Burns, when you said this has to do with student code of conduct policy, there's a phrase in many of those code of conduct policies that I think if we add to that section that defines all the places where it happens, it gets to that impact on the school, which was what you were talking about, Representative Wood. So that would say, while attending or engaged in school activities and while away from school grounds, if misconduct will directly affect the good order, efficient management, and welfare of the school district. And you could change the good conduct to if the bullying or harassment action. But then it gets to that concept of authority related to the harm for the district, and it's the nexus between the activity and the impact on school. So thank you for your work, and thanks to SAI and the governor's office and everybody involved in bringing this forward.
Thank you, honorable members. Glad that you're having the meeting today. I'm Mike Cormack, Department of Education, and as noted by Phil Wise and Adam Greig, we are supportive of this, and certainly, as was noted, comes out of the governor's anti-bullying summit, as well as the good work out of SAI, governor's office, working cooperatively. I just wanted to add that I wasn't here. I was a former legislator until 2002, wasn't here when the original legislation passed, but up to a year and a half ago, prior to joining the department, I was in a 10-year stretch of being athletic coach teacher at the middle school level. And what was said earlier is absolutely the case that it's easier to make a list of the cases where electronic media is not involved in areas where you have disputes among students in this harassment and bullying area than it is to where it is. It's almost in that period of time, certainly the social media has exploded. And so we're in the very infant stages of that, and it definitely is a case where the school is having to deal with things that carry over. And I just use one example, and I'll conclude that. And I'm double booked like Adam was, so I'll be leaving. But I remember having a coach a group, and it was actually at the end of our season, and how we had a tournament that we were going to go to, and we still went to that tournament, but I lost basically half my team going into that tournament because of feuding that was going on amongst the students themselves and parents getting involved, and all had to do with the social media and stuff that all prompted it. So we went and lost by a very hefty score, and I remember that experience. But, you know, the fact is that that's what's going on. You know, I can say that from being in the classroom fairly recently, that that's what's going on, that there's an explosion of this use. Much of the use is well done, but there is the side effect that this is going on. And so obviously, it wasn't as prevalent when the original legislation was passed, but certainly would reflect the reality of what's going on in the world today. Thank you.
If I could get one second.
Is it to piggyback off the comments?
Well, it was actually to piggyback off of Margaret's comments earlier. I just wanted to make clear that regarding the comments that Margaret made from the UEN, we would be in favor. There's a minor change that she's recommending. And anything that can be done, if there's minor changes that can be done to, again, ensure that the message that's sent out is that we're protecting all of Iowa's students at any time or location for bullying, we would be in favor of. So that's really the bottom line for us, is that we get to that point in Iowa. This is really about changing the culture in our schools and in our communities. And we feel that this legislation will go a long way to changing that culture by really clarifying and simplifying the message as we try to educate Iowans.
Yeah, I'm Tom Chapman with the Iowa Catholic Conference. I represent the Catholic schools in Iowa, and we're undecided on the bill itself. Certainly very supportive of the goal and what's trying to be accomplished here. Actually, my question was similar to Margaret's in the sense that the only new grant of authority I saw in here related to school equipment in the home. And we've talked about we want to make sure, you know, administrators have the authority when something's affecting the school to take action. They do that already. I just didn't know if there was going to be any more clarifying, you know, language added to the bill. Not that it's necessary, but that was the question. We've talked about new authority. I don't really see it here.
Sure. And I got my list of notes that we're going to work from beyond this. Thank you,
Representative Burns. Bill Wimmer with the Iowa Association for Justice. Our approach to this comes from a little different direction. First of all, we commend everybody what they're doing as far as harassment and bullying, because we certainly don't condone that. A part of our mission, though, is to make sure that when we put immunity into a particular piece of legislation, that we're immunizing the right people for the right reasons and not creating a shield behind which somebody can. And the first paragraph, or paragraph A, on starting on page 4, going to page 5, is language that we helped work with when this thing first passed. What I'm concerned about is the language in B, and frankly, I'm not absolutely certain what that does. We're still examining it. I think it's subject to a significant amount of interpretation, and so we're still looking at this, but we'll work with you on the thing to make sure that it's as streamlined as we think it should be, yet it provides the immunity or the protection that you're asking for.
Thank you. Can I address just to that point on the immunity? I'm sorry. That language was a recommendation from an organization out of Virginia, Student Press Law Center. And the reason that they encouraged us to add additional immunity language is they were afraid that if that was not in place, that school officials would be so concerned by potential liability they might face that they would then overstep their authority and take action in instances when they shouldn't be taking action, and thus infringing upon the free speech rights of students. So that's where that recommendation came from. If there are some tweaking that could be done to that to improve it, we would be open to looking at anything along those lines. But I just want to share with you that was the rationale for that addition.
Thank you.
Anybody else around
Josh,
the room?
Could I add one more thing? The thing I think that most excites me about this is it's strengthening our current law, and it's helping administrators understand where their authority lies, because right now it's a real difficult position for them. As Frank described, they get into it, but I've been involved in some parent meetings with parents where the first thing they say is, why are you covering this? This has nothing to do with the school. And as an educator, I think helping kids understand, I compare some of the social media to the way it was in the Wild West. They had to establish some laws and get some order, and this helps us do that. We help kids understand you can use social media, but our expectation is to use it responsibly, and you're not picking on other kids while you're doing it. This will help educators help educate kids about some responsibilities that they have.
Representative Hall.
State Representative Chris Hall from Sioux City. Just attending this not as a member of the subcommittee or even the education committee itself, but just an interested party. As a legislator who attended the bullying summit last fall, as well as a legislator from Northwest Iowa, where this issue has hit home, unfortunately. I just want to say that I'm also supportive of this bill that the governor's introduced. I think that it hits on an important piece of the kind of evolving issue of bullying and electronic sources, but I would also urge the subcommittee to continue looking at language that might be present in other ideas or other pieces of legislation, such as House File 143. That is the bill that I co-sponsored this year with Representative Greg Forrestal, who is former chair of the Education Committee. I think that bill also addresses on an important approach to the issue in making sure that parents are engaged early in the process, and would appreciate your consideration of that language as the bill moves forward.
Any other comments?
Melissa Peterson with ISEA. I apologize for being late. I'm standing in the hallway. We are currently registered against the bill, but with the removal of that section 10 point A, we would certainly be able to move to monitor at the very least. So just echoing some of the sentiments I heard and walked in on.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Eric Gorenson, and I'm the lobbyist for the Iowa Association of Christian Schools. And we were not involved in the initial conversations about this bill, and so we feel like we're playing catch-up, and this meeting's been helpful. We're currently registered against the bill. We were against the original version of this language for a number of reasons, but we'll be working with a couple of people to try to get some of our questions answered. We share a lot of the questions that have been raised today from Emily and others, so we appreciate your willingness, hopefully, to work with us. We're going to be meeting very soon about this bill, and we'll be having a conversation, so appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Brian with the National Association of Social Workers, and we would just like to echo Emily's comments earlier, and we think that if we believe in the spirit of this bill, that it would do good for students in schools. We just like to see some tweaks to some of the language, so that's where we're coming from. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, well, I think it's a good first step. I think that, it's part of the purpose of a subcommittee is so that you can get some input from people around the room and hear on what their concerns are and whatnot. We've got a list of things here that we can work forward on from basically now until about tomorrow morning. I think this is a great first step. I've noticed lately, and I commend our school districts because I've really noticed in the last probably year, especially in my district, just a lot more things in the news about things that school districts are doing to try to do anti-bullying type prevention. Lake Mills School District just had one last week where they brought in a speaker. They brought the whole student body in. They listened to this individual. I have an uncle that teaches there, and he said it was pretty good. It was good stuff. So I think we got some school districts that are onto some things. They got some folks out there that they're utilizing, probably some things that we can replicate amongst other school districts. I know in Osage, my superintendent, I would be willing to bet in the last 3 years, I have noticed my superintendent has probably had a dozen articles in our newspaper on behalf of anti-bullying and addressing the issue, and he's really done a good job of that. So, this is a great first step, and we can do this as a legislative body. One thing that we can't do from here is we can't legislate parenting. I would ask for parents' help on this. I mean, we just talked about how this goes beyond the scope of the school, and we're talking about how do you handle the things that are going on in social media outside the school system. And I really think that parents can help us out on this. You know, they can help monitor some things that are going on in the home front. I got a 15-year-old daughter. She doesn't have Facebook. And this is exactly why she doesn't have it, is because I don't want to have to deal with the bullying as a parent with social media. Now, that's just what I do as a parent. But I think that we do. We need to pay attention to our kids and see what's going on and just simply having a conversation with them. I think there's a lot of things we can do on the home front. But like I said, we can't legislate that, but we can ask for parental help on this.
I would just like to add on to that. I think that, first of all, this is a good first step, and I think we can make this better for all schools. And Representative Burns, you're correct. We need to have parents' support on this, but we also have to have parents' education as well as staff education as far as media and social media is concerned, because we have staff out there that even have a tough time turning on computers and working with that situation, and now we're talking about social media. So I think school districts are going to have to step forward, do the education piece, as well as help parents understand what social media is going on, because a lot of times when we deal with a bullying or harassment or a Facebook issue, parents come in and not even aware that their child has a Facebook, or they would even put something that stupid out on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So I'm really kind of surprised, because when you talk to kids says, well, I didn't mean anything by it, but it does get them in a little bit of hot water. So yeah, I appreciate this. Hopefully we can work on it within the next 24 hours and get it moving.
All right, well, it's going to move forward, so I thank all of you for coming and all the input and the help on designing this. So thank you.
Thank you.